the music. Cut the music.
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh, oh.
Spectacular group of men. You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Oh, the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone.
There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Like poison. Like rat poison.
Are you going to listen to me or are you going to listen to these guys?
And now welcome back. Rossi, three sacks again for week two. And Ross, go ahead, take your victory lap. 3-0 last week. And what was it, 6-0 if you count the picks that you didn't have the balls to actually put into the teaser.
Whoa.
So,
okay.
I'm just
first
saying.
First of all, audio dab all over the haters. 6-0 is exactly right. I gave out the three-teamer. And then added the three more for everybody who was feeling squirrely. So hopefully everybody was feeling squirrely. Because, yeah, man, we went 6-0. Well, we went 1-0. But each game hit.
Yeah, so here's my thing. And not to rain on your parade here, because every week we do I aim to tease.
Okay. I know what you're going to say. No.
If you bet these games.
I would have been 5-1 straight up. I get it.
Correct.
It's not as fun.
You'd make a lot more money if you had just bet the games with the lines and not tied them together in a teaser. You would have won. Mm-hmm. Let's see. So let's say you bet $20 on every game and $20 mm-hmm. on a teaser. You won $20 last week, Ross. You could have made $80 last week. So doing a little math here, seems like maybe the IM to tease should go into the toilet and you should just start betting these games like a man.
Maybe. The difference is I would have to.
I don't think there's a maybe.
I'll have to run it into the three stacks algorithm. No, you're right. I did do some individual games as well. Got super lucky that the website that I use had this preposterous line on the NC State game, like 9.5 when I looked Saturday morning.
Yeah.
The first time the line posted. So I grabbed that and they barely covered. I bet against UNC like 2 months ago when I thought those suspensions were going to happen and they just barely held on to that.
Yeah.
That line.
Boy, that almost was a
good week.
Hell.
It would have been pretty bad. But we had a good week for sure. Good week one.
We've had a lot of bad beats. If UNC had recovered what, three straight onside kicks, would have been their third, right? I mean, it ended up the call was reversed, so they didn't recover the onside kick that would have given them a chance to tie the game. But we almost went from
that would have been the second straight one.
Okay,
they had one really good one before, and for whatever reason, a guy on their kickoff team, instead of catching the ball, he just swatted it down and got called for an illegal batting.
Well, that was par for the course for Carolina
for
this afternoon.
For sure. We don't need to talk about them so much again. But yeah, that would have been pretty funny if they had somehow covered after the worst 3.5 quarters of football in a long time.
It was quite bad. Well, we might get into the Tar Heels here in a couple minutes when it's my turn. Yeah, just a little tease for you. Oh,
okay.
On that note,
there he is.
Why don't we go to your teasers this week? Is it a three-teamer, a four-teamer? What are we working with?
Well, I was going to keep it consistent and do three with then a couple more that I also liked for the squirrelier folks.
Okay.
All right, so first up, we've got UAB minus 10. We're going to tease them down to minus 3 at Coastal Carolina.
Like it.
So I got my redemption on UMass last week, and this week the redemption tour is headed to Conway, South Carolina. So UAB won 52-0 against somebody bad last week. Coastal, on the other hand, got blown out by the fighting Chris Smellies and Captain Munnerlands. Not a ton to glean there. Like, both of those outcomes are what you would expect, but UAB top 10 in the country in returning production, which generally lends itself to doing well early in the year. Coastal Carolina lost a lot from, I mean, an adequate team, a bad team last year. So honestly, when you lose as much as they did and when UAB brings back as much as they did, I really like UAB to win this game by at least a touchdown.
Pretty weird that UAB gets rid of football and this is their second year back and they might win Conference USA.
They're pretty decent.
They are real. I don't know how. I'm sure that if I did my homework, I could look up why UAB got so good again so quickly. I don't know if like some guys didn't transfer out or
right.
It's just weird. I mean, they're basically an expansion team in college football, and they're already, I mean, legitimately good. No, I getting them 3 points on the road. Look, you don't just walk into Conway, South Carolina, and come out with a win. I think we both established that.
But... we learned our lesson the hard way last year. But no, this is it's a new year, man. It's a new year. Like I said, we got our redemption on UMass. We're getting it on Coastal this week.
All right, who's number
two? We're exercising all of our demons. Number two, Vandy, -8.5. We're going to tease them down to -1.5 against Nevada.
Okay.
I'm such a sucker for games in that 7 to 10 point range. I just really like teasing that number. I feel like it's a team that probably should win when you're a touchdown or more favorite, and getting them to just win the game straight up. I am a sucker for that number. So Vandy last week beat Middle Tennessee State 35-7. I mean, did what they were supposed to do. Honestly, that's a larger win probably than people were expecting. Nevada beat the hell out of Portland State, who was an 0-11 FCS team last year. So not a lot to glean there either. But this is my classic. Do you think an SEC team, I mean, they're an SEC team in the same way that like Pitt or Boston College is an ACC basketball team, but they're still an SEC team, at least by name. Will they win at home against a non-Power 5 team? And so getting them at 1.5, you're basically just assuming that they will win at all. So I say yes. I really like that number in a home game.
I regret not giving out Vandy over Middle Tennessee as one of my picks last week, because I went Saturday morning. I mean, I give out my picks on the blog, but then a lot of times I go in Saturday morning and I kind of look, are there any other games I like? Vandy was one of the ones that I looked at hard, and not only did they win, 35-7 last year, they had won 28-6. Vandy's not a bad team. I mean, this year they look bad in the SEC, but I mean, they beat Tennessee at the end of last year. They hung close in games against Florida and South Carolina last year. Like, they're not up to the level of, your powers in the SEC. They're not even close. But
sure. When
they go up against a team from the Sun Belt, they usually flex their muscles. So yep. I'm buying that again. I think these are the wins that Vandy picks up.
And I agree.
I'm cool with laying the point. So what you're teasing them down to?
1.5.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah, I really like it. I think they win this game actually somewhat comfortably. I don't mean to blow them out, but I think they win it comfortably.
Seems like it.
Yep. Next up, Buffalo. We're going to tease them from +5 to +12 at Temple. So Temple lost to Villanova, who's an FCS team.
Yep.
And Buffalo they beat the doors off of Delaware State, who I looked is literally one of the worst teams in the country at any level. So, not a lot to glean there.
Okay.
Buffalo does return a lot more experience than Temple. Buffalo is a better team than Temple, I think, and a better team than Villanova for sure. And so getting 12 points, even if it is on the road, I mean, I don't think Temple's home field advantage is going to be that crazy coming off of a loss to your crosstown FCS rival.
Also, right? I'm pretty sure they play at the Eagles Stadium.
Oh, did they?
I'm pretty sure Temple plays at the Link. So that NFL stadiums, even Pitt's home field advantage is nothing. I don't think anybody you have 100 people in a 68,000 person stadium,
right?
I think that has the opposite effect of home field advantage.
It for sure can. So anyway, that being said, I think there's a decent chance Buffalo beats Temple outright.
Okay.
So I really like them getting 12 points.
Yeah. And shout out to Buffalo's quarterback, who also plays point guard for Virginia Tech, Tyree Jackson.
Is that his name? Isn't he like gigantic?
He is 6'7", 245.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. He threw 6 touchdowns last week. This guy's Jamarcus Russell, 2.0.
Yeah, he's huge. Though Buffalo sneakily like a couple of NFL prospects, him included.
Man, well, I guess they're not the fighting Khalil Max anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
6'7", 245. My God.
For sure. It's a defensive end.
And he threw 6 touchdowns, no picks last week, like you said, against Delaware State. But, hey, all right, go Bulls. I'm on board.
Uh-huh. We like that. I might, separate from the teaser, I might put a little money line action down on the Bulls. We'll see. I definitely like them plus 12.
Coming around.
All right, so those are the three others that I like to toss in there. Memphis versus Navy, teasing that over from 69, nice, to 62. Navy and Hawaii last week literally had 100 points in it.
Yeah.
And Memphis is better than Hawaii and put up 66 of their own last week. So I wouldn't be surprised to see this like 49-35, something like that.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the score of every Memphis game ever, though. I don't check me on that, but I would guess that Memphis – like, you could tell me that they won 7 games last year, all of them 49-35, and I'd probably believe you.
That's probably true. I mean, that is. I won't do the math. We won't run any numbers. But yeah. when you plug the Memphis games into the Rossi three stacks algorithm, it comes out 49-35 every time.
Yep.
Yeah, 7 points.
That's my understanding. But for real, I think that game gets into definitely into the 70s, possibly into the 80s or above.
So teasing that down to, I mean, depending on where 62. You look at it, 62. Yeah, even I'm looking at it here. So you're doing a 6-point teaser? Is that what you're doing here?
Seven. Are you seeing it at 68?
I'm seeing 68 right here, which means you can get even better. Yeah. Back up the
line's
Brinks
moving
truck.
Down, which alarms me just in a couple hours. But
no. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
Whatever.
Yeah. Just wait till the sharp money comes in when Rossi three stacks goes on.
Yeah. When the three stacks mafia floods
teases the
floods
over
betonline.ag.
Really going to move the market there. Yeah.
That's funny. Well, anyway, that line movement aside, I still like the over there.
Okay. What else? Is that it? There's one more.
No, a couple more. I'll be brief. Penn State -8.5 down to 1.5 at Pitt. This is another line just in the teaser zone for me.
Yeah.
I still don't like Pitt, and I think Penn State bounces back. They obviously almost got upset by App State last week. I think this line would be a lot higher if not for a little bit of overreaction. So I like Penn State to win that game outright. And again, getting them at 1.5, that's what you're betting on.
And I'm with you. And a common theme among a lot of the picks that I'm going to have in a few minutes is I think week two is the perfect week to fade the overreactions. Because what's going to happen is a lot of people saw what happened week one, and you have to decipher, okay, how much of this is a true indication of how good or bad a team is, and how much of this are we overreacting to one game? And Penn State's a team that could fall into that category. And I don't know, but Penn State goes to overtime against Appalachian State, and now people all of a sudden are kind of backing off of the Penn State bandwagon. No Saquon Barkley, no Joe Moorhead. This line is too low. Pitt is atrocious. And this is a huge rebuilding year for Pat Narduzzi. And honestly, I don't even know if he's going to have a job in 9 months. And Penn State's going to be fine. I don't think Penn State's a national championship contender, but to tease them down to one, I would throw that. Honestly, I like that more than some of the other games that you threw in here, because I think people might be overreacting a little bit to Penn State. Had Penn State gone out and won 45-7 last week, this line is at 14.
For sure.
So I think you're getting a lot of value there. I love that one.
Totally agree. Hey Josh, thanks, man.
I love, first of all, my favorite part of our podcast is when you give a pick and then I kind of give my thoughts, and if I agree with you, and then you come in and say, totally agree. So I'm glad you agree with yourself.
I think when I say that, I'm just agreeing with maybe other points that you had made that I hadn't brought up.
It's a little self-affirmation, for sure. As somebody who talks for 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, there are certainly times where I'll start off a topic or a thought, and by the end of it, I disagree with myself. So I'm just glad for you staying on brand.
Yeah, well, it's good. As someone who works from home and talks to nobody for 10 hours every day, you kind of forget how to have conversations with other people. So cut me some slack.
Okay, I'll let it go.
All right, that's basically it. I'm really tempted, speaking of overreactions, to tease UNC down from 16.5 to 9.5. Mm-hmm. At ECU stinks.
Yeah,
they are really bad. They lost to North Carolina A&T this week. They got blown out by every decent team they played last year, for the most part. Lost a lot of games really badly. Part of me wants to. This game started at like 14 and got quickly bet up to 17. Now it's kind of settled in at like 16.5. So the line there moved in Carolina's favor. ECU really stinks, and Carolina did show some life at the end of the week. So I may or may not do that, but that's just one. If you are a believer in how bad ECU is, because I do think they're really bad, that's not a bad one to toss in.
I like that one as well, and I will mention that one in just a minute because I have that on my list. So there's your teaser. Real quick, the three main games, the conservative tease, if you're not feeling squirrely, with those three again.
UAB down to -3 at Coastal Carolina. Vanderbilt down to -1.5 against Nevada, and Buffalo to +12 at Temple.
Folks, if you're not getting rich off UAB, Vanderbilt, and Buffalo, what are you doing on a Saturday?
I agree.
God, we really go down the rabbit hole sometimes.
For sure. I know. I didn't know the Buffalo quarterback's name, but I did know his measurables. I enjoy reading that kind of stuff.
Tyree Jackson. Now you know he's 6'7". You're welcome, college football country. All right. Well, here, I'm going to run through my picks this week. I didn't have them last week, but I do want to run through some of them. I'll save a few of them for the blog tomorrow, but I'll give you a couple that I like doing my research earlier. I actually love a lot of games this week. I wasn't sure that I would, and then when I started looking at these lines, like, man, going back to the point I made a minute ago, I think there's an opportunity to get, not in all of these, but in some of these, you can kind of capitalize on overreaction because
I agree.
You see it in the polls. I mean, people, when you only have a one-game sample size, you put so much weight into what you've seen, and a lot of times your eyes can deceive you. I mean, teams, if Penn State, let's use Michigan State as an example. If they squeak by Utah State in week four, but let's say they had already beaten a team like Notre Dame earlier, that was the game that would have been on national TV. That's the game people are going to put stock into, not the game in week four that nobody was watching. But because it's the only game we have to go off of, a lot of times we say, well, Michigan State, not as good as we think, or Penn State,
right.
And maybe that's true, but it's hard to say with certainty given the fact we've only seen them play once. So I think a lot of lines have moved more than they would ordinarily coming off of just that one game. So it's not a new thing. I mean, a lot of pro gamblers will tell you nobody's ever as good as they looked the week before or as bad as they looked the week before. But especially going into week two of college football, where so much changes year to year, and you're not sure how good these teams are yet until you've seen them play for at least a few weeks. So I think I've got that in mind. Now, having said that, probably not the best segue. I am all over Oklahoma -30 against UCLA.
No recency bias here.
Not at all. Look, it's no secret. I really think Oklahoma's better than even people are giving them credit for. They're sixth in the AP poll this week. I ranked them second so far I thought they were the second most impressive team in the country last week.
They looked really good.
Oh, my God. I mean, Florida Atlantic look, Lane Kiffin has his issues, but that team has plenty of talent. And it didn't matter what scheme FAU was running against Oklahoma. I mean, they got whatever they wanted whenever they wanted it. It was 42-0 at halftime. I mean, Clemson didn't do that to Furman. I mean, if you want to look at it that way, I mean – it's one thing to blow a team out early. Oklahoma jumped out 28-0 in the first quarter and then 42-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
Like it was easy. And FAU's a team that, quite honestly, they win 10 games.
Exactly. I was going to say, at worst, this is a bowl team that they did this against. This is not a cupcake. That was a super impressive game. I totally agree.
I think Oklahoma's going to be better this year than they were last year. And a lot of that falls on not just Kyler Murray, but Rodney Anderson's going to be even better. He was outstanding. So I think Oklahoma's really good. And UCLA is even worse than we thought. I would have liked this game, regardless of what UCLA did last week. They lost to Cincinnati, and they were almost a 2-touchdown favorite in that game. Cincinnati is rough, and UCLA looked, absolutely awful. And they lost Wilton Spade early in the game to an injury. But Chip Kelly, it's going to take him a while to get things right there. I just don't see UCLA hitting its groove until much later in the season, if at all, this year. Meanwhile, Oklahoma is just firing on all cylinders. And I don't see any way UCLA keeps up with them. Oklahoma's defense is terrific. To me, 30 points, not enough. I think Oklahoma wins that game 56-14. I mean, I just think they murder UCLA. FAU, to me, better team than UCLA right now. And 30 points is not a lot.
That. 30 feels like a lot. It just looks like a lot when you see UCLA, but I think you're exactly right. So I think that will probably keep a lot of people away from that game, but that probably is a solid bet.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley is just – very rarely does Oklahoma play down to its opponent. I mean, last year against Texas, they sort of struggled. I mean, it happens, but I think that in week two, I think with Murray still trying – they're trying to get him established – I don't see Oklahoma kind of sitting back and maybe taking their foot off the pedal too early. I mean, you obviously worry about a backdoor there with the 30-point spread. I mean,
sure.
You get up 35 and let a late touchdown in with the backups. That can always happen, but I just think Oklahoma rolls. On that note, I'll flip it around. I'll go back to my strategy that I mentioned a minute ago. FAU -9.5. So FAU last week loses, obviously, in pretty embarrassing fashion, but then this week we get them as pretty short favorites. I mean, single-digit favorites going up against Air Force. And this game opened at 7.5, is now out to 9.5. So you've seen the action come in on the Owls. But FAU's good. They're not as bad as Oklahoma made them look a week ago. And I think people are very quick to sell off their FAU stock. It's a game that was on national television, and everybody's eyes were on that game. There really wasn't another huge game going on at noon. I mean, Ole Miss, Texas Tech, but I mean, this was a game that was a big spotlight opportunity for them. And I think people now are selling all of their stock in FAU. I think 9.5 is a pretty low number. I don't think Air Force is a terrific team. I would tend to side with FAU and their talent. I think Lane Kiffin gets it turned around.
Yeah.
So I do like that one. Here's the one that it's not my buy the boat pick of the week, which, by the way, the buy the boat, hashtag buy the boat. That's going to be the lock of the week.
I love that hashtag so much.
We are buying the boat this year, and I'll have that my lock of the week later. I almost made this one my lock of the week, but I didn't do it. Arkansas State plus 36 at Alabama.
Whoa.
And this is this is your moneymaker every single year. Fade Alabama in week two. They did not cover a year ago against either Fresno State or Colorado State in weeks two and three. They always play a huge game in week one. Last year it was Florida State. They played Wisconsin, Virginia Tech, Michigan. They played huge games in week one. This year they took on Louisville, which wasn't quite the same because Louisville's a little bit down. But they play that big game, and then weeks two and three, Nick Saban never runs it up. He runs it up in conference. He runs it up in the SEC. I mean, just look at last year what they did. They won 41-10 against Fresno State. They were, I believe, almost 40-point favorites in that game. Then against Colorado State, they were almost 30-point favorites, only won by 18. And then they beat Vandy by 59 and Ole Miss by 63. Like, right. Nick Saban, he is not going to run those he's not going to run those teams off the field like he would a team in the SEC. You go back the year before, it was Western Kentucky. They won by 28. 2015, Middle Tennessee, they won by 27. I mean, you sit there on paper and you go, well, how on earth is Middle Tennessee going to keep it within 40 against Alabama? They do, because Saban usually gets up 35-0 and pulls everybody out of the game, and then they just kind of cruise and usually don't cover those games. And I remember last year, Chris Felica and I were big on that game, the Fresno State game, and we won a lot of money on it because usually those small teams cover against Alabama. And not only is Arkansas State a small team, but Arkansas State is pretty good. They're probably the favorites in the Sun Belt. They have
right.
Blake Anderson has done a really good job. He's going to get a bigger job probably sooner rather than later. And quarterback is Justice Hansen, who last season threw for 4,000 yards and 37 touchdowns, ran for seven more. And Arkansas State, while they shouldn't hold a candle to Alabama, they're going to score points. And what I think you're going to see happen is Bama get up 42-0, and Arkansas State is going to move the ball against Alabama's second-string defense. And I think they get 10, maybe 14 points, and they cover this spread. I mean, 36. Alabama beat Louisville last week by 38. I mean, so,
right.
I mean, you're talking about, you're saying you think Alabama's going to win by roughly the same margin this week against the worst team. Alabama doesn't run the score up on these teams. I think against Arkansas State, I think that that's actually a pretty safe bet. I'm not saying buy the boat, but I do like Arkansas State to cover that game because they have a good offense, and Alabama doesn't run it up. So I got that one there. What do you think?
I like that. I can get on board with that.
I think that's a great teaser.
It would be a good teaser. It wouldn't shock me to see Saban do something weird just to, like, keep the Tua versus Jalen Hurts thing down, like, play Hurts a lot more than he needs to.
Right.
Like, Tua could come in and score three straight touchdowns and then see, like, two or three straight series of Hurts just because Saban's playing mind games.
Yeah. I mean, and if there's one thing we've learned, it's that Alabama doesn't score when Jalen Hurts is on the field. God, that was, I mean, how obvious is it that Saban is purely trying to make sure that Jalen Hurts does not transfer?
For sure.
Like, that is so obvious at this point because, I mean, Tua is the best quarterback they've had since Saban's been
yep.
there. And Jalen Hurts, God, it is ridiculous. I mean, they were in mop-up duty last week in the fourth quarter, up by 40, and Alabama's playing a former SEC Offensive Player of the Year as their garbage time quarterback. And I mean, but Jalen Hurts is just nowhere close to Tua. It's crazy. So I'll give two more here, and I've got several more that I'll give out on the site. But we'll do Carolina. I'm on board with minus 17. I wish I had got it when it opened at 14. I think UNC is not as bad as they looked a week ago. I mean, you can't be that bad. I mean, it's literally impossible to be worse than UNC was. And to think that they came within a illegal procedure of having a chance to tie that game is insane. So yeah. Carolina plays as poorly as you can for 3.5 quarters and still ends up almost with a shot to tie on the road against a decent Pac-12 team.
Yeah, their defense looked really good.
It did, and it was a fast defense. Like you made note of that. I know we were texting about that. I mean, I think that they're going to be okay. And like I said, I don't think they can be any worse. This is the same deal as my point about FAU. I think if Carolina had beaten Cal or even just looked better in that game, I could see this line have being closer to 21. I think Carolina runs them out of the building. I mean, East Carolina is in contention for the worst program in the country. And I think it was Andrew Carter, your boy on Twitter, who said he couldn't remember a worst fire to hire situation than Ruffin McNeil to Scotty Montgomery.
Yeah.
You might have a point. I mean, East Carolina went from being 8-9-10 win team, knocking off teams like Virginia Tech to,
well, I mean, they also had Lincoln Riley.
Well, right. They did. And that was inevitable that he was going to walk out the door, but Ruffin hired him. Ruffin came from Texas Tech. He knew Lincoln Riley. I mean, that was, it's crazy to think about where they went. And that's, I mean, they should always be good. I know they went through a rough spot. I think whoever was before Skip Holtz, they struggled for a little bit, and then Skip was all right. They've kind of bounced back and forth between one of those hot mid-major teams and to just being absolutely horrible. But I mean, they're cratering like nobody's business right now. And I think Carolina bounces back.
They stink. If they don't, if Carolina loses this game, the fedora's done.
Yeah.
Done. Like, you might not make it back to Chapel Hill.
If they lose. I mean, yep. If Carolina wins it 27-20, and you know maybe they need a late touchdown to pull away, mm-hmm. he's not. I mean, could he get fired? What are the chances that what would Larry Fedora have to do outside of lose? Because I mean, I think we both agree with that. I mean, is there any likelihood that he really could not last the season? Because I didn't think it was possible. And then watching them play last week, I was like, damn, this team doesn't get any better.
Man, what he'll probably do is beat Duke or State randomly. And like keep everybody happy long enough. I mean, I guess those are late in the season, but no, I don't think he'll get fired this season. But I think unless they look a lot better than they did, then the seat's going to get really, really hot.
Yeah.
But that being said, I do think like you, I think they bounce back this week.
I think so too. I'm buying that my UNC stock word East Carolina. I don't think there's no bounce back in there. That program's getting worse by the minute. All right, one more, and this one I really like. Baylor, Texas, San Antonio, under 51. So I looked at this. If you haven't downloaded the Action Network app, I recommend doing it. Go do it right now because they've got a lot of good insight on the page. Just on the public version, I think there is like a premium version, or whatever. But 90% of the action right now coming in on the over on Baylor, Texas, San Antonio, and the total has only moved 2 points from 49-51. So everybody and their mother is betting Baylor. And what that tells me, tell me what you if you think I'm right, I think people are assuming that Baylor, we know they're a little bit better this year than they were last year. I think people are assuming that Baylor is the same Baylor, at least from a playing style standpoint, that they were when Art Briles was there. But Matt Rhule does not run the same offense that Art Briles ran. It's totally different, and it's much more of like a pro-style attack. It's not the wide-open, score 60 points every week kind of deal. So I think people will just see a line with Baylor, and they're like, oh, 49? Like, I have to bet the over on 49. Like, Baylor's going to score 50 by themselves. But, I mean, they scored 55 last week against Abilene Christian. But UTSA last week, they lost to Arizona State 49-7. I mean, I think Baylor keeps that score low. Again, I mean, I don't think Texas San Antonio gets more than maybe 10 or 14 points. But this isn't the same Baylor offense that we've seen before. I mean, I think this feels like a 31-10 kind of game, 38-10 even, and you still hit the under. I wouldn't feel so strong about this if I didn't see that number where it said 90% of the action was coming in on Baylor, or I guess on the over. So that just jumped out to me, and I think that's one of those where I think you're catching maybe the public having a little bit of perception bias. And
I could see that.
I think the under might be the play there. Sometimes you just got to realize, hey, Vegas makes money for a reason, and it's because we're idiots. And if you see the public going one way, it's usually – I think 75 is the number. That's what Todd Furman always tells me. If you see a number where 75% is coming in on one side, go the other way. Doesn't matter what you think. If you want to try to feel like you're smarter than Vegas, go for it. But what you really should do is fade the public when you can. And To me, that seems like one that's a home run.
I like that. I'm not a big bet the under guy, but I know. I like that.
Yeah, I did hit my under. It was close, but one of the bets I put out on the website last week was Rutgers Texas State under. And nice. buddy, was I sweating that one out in the fourth quarter. we were Gucci for a while. That Dude. It was like 20-7 or something. It was something super low scoring, and then Texas State went on a rally, furious late, and Rutgers, I think, it ended up stopping him on downs or something with like 2 minutes to go. So we were good.
That'll spice up a Saturday. Yeah. Rutgers Texas State over or under.
Yeah, the under. It was under 40. It was a low total too, under 47. It's one thing. You bet like the under 70 or something, and like you can still see a fun game, and yeah, 30-21 is still an under. But man, I was sweating out a 28-10 game. that's not what you want. But
God, gambling is the best.
It sure is. Well, Ross, we got to run. We're going to keep it tight here today. But
wait, hey, hold on.
Who do you have?
You asked on Twitter for us to pick a game, and
oh, that's
we
right.
We got a couple requests.
We did. All right. What we got? So
our guy Greg at Hokie 33 on Twitter.
Oh yeah.
Shout out Manchester High School, home of the cutoff jumper. He requested Colorado Nebraska.
Oh, okay. All right,
so
I like
the start of the Scott Frost era.
Well, right. So we haven't seen Nebraska yet, which makes this really tough because their game against Akron ends up getting canceled. Colorado, okay. This guy Laviska Shenault Jr. He might be in the booty meat fraternity. This dude. did you hear about this guy last week?
No.
So Colorado receiver. He's a sophomore. Laviska Shenault Booty Meat Jr. 11 catches. 211 yards and a touchdown.
Against Colorado State.
Yeah. So, and apparently I read a story the other day, I think it was Max Olson, I might be wrong, from The Athletic, who said that I guess he spent some time with Colorado this offseason. And I guess Mike McIntyre told him, like, hey, like, don't tell anyone about this guy. that's literally what he said. He was like, he told me, or it might have been Bruce Feldman. I don't know. I was reading The Athletic. It doesn't matter. But the reporter was like, yeah, like he was dominating preseason practice or spring ball or whatever. And yeah, the coach was really like, hey, if you could not let people know that he's this good, that'd be great. And what does he do? He goes
great
out
for
and,
the Heisman campaign.
Yeah, right. Well, he goes and lights up the Rams for 211 yards. So, I mean, Colorado, I think, is actually going to be decent.
The line there is Nebraska -4.
Mm-hmm.
Are you leaning towards Colorado?
I am. I think Nebraska. I think you got a very similar deal to what UCLA is dealing with right now, where you got a coach coming in. I think he needs a certain skill set, certain personnel. He's got a true freshman quarterback. And Adrian Martinez, I don't know how he's going to – I mean, I don't know. I have no idea what to expect from a true freshman quarterback.
This is a fun one. I think this is a fun one.
This is a good one. Shout out to Greg for giving us a great line here.
Attaboy. Hey, yo, Greg, I'm going to go the other side.
Okay.
I'm going to say Nebraska for – we haven't seen them at all. You're right. That's just kind of intriguing. I'm a Scott Frost believer.
Yeah.
It's just coming home, there's going to be so much energy, so much excitement, especially having to wait an extra week for the era to start. The dude is just a winner. I don't know. This just strikes me as a game that he wins. Everybody gets super excited about. We proclaim Nebraska is back. So I'm going Nebraska by a tutty.
Okay. Man, I don't know if you saw this, but Nebraska posted a video of the tunnel walk that they made before the game. If you haven't seen it, did you see it?
No.
Go watch it. It's insane. It's like the Dallas Cowboys entrance on steroids, where they walk through the smoke and lights and lasers and whatever, and there's fans high-fiving the players as they're walking from the locker room underneath the stadium out to the field. But the part that makes it amazing is they didn't play the game. Like it's like here was this amazing electric intro, and they literally didn't even play.
It was literally just smoke and mirrors.
A little bit of a buzzkill. So yeah, it was. So that's I'll go Colorado, just for the sake of uncertainty with Nebraska. But that's a nice one. So I think we're gonna do that every week. We're gonna throw out on Twitter before we tape. We'll ask you guys for a pick, And then we'll, or for a game, and we'll give you a pick on that one. So I say Buffs, you say Huskers, and I we don't have time today to get into daily fantasy, but I'll try to start the league up tomorrow. Open the league. I screwed up. I admit it.
You took a Mecca Okafor.
I did. I guess there's a setting when you create the league that says like, check this box if you want the league to run, even if it doesn't fill up, and I didn't check that box. Mm-hmm. So because I set it to a 50-person league and we only had like 25 people sign up, the league didn't run. So I had people texting me who thought it was their fault. They were like, hey, man, sorry. I thought I submitted it, but I guess it didn't go through. Like, my bad. I feel so terrible.
You,
I was like,
you should just run with that. Like, hey, it's cool, dude. Don't even worry about it. No, let's go get them next week.
That's kind of what I did. So anyway, now I'm admitting on the podcast I was wrong.
Well, the good news is that was just a couple more dollars for me to not lose, because I did lose all of it, as I predicted last week. Week one is the worst. Great for gambling. I like the early season for gambling. Terrible for fantasy. And then I go the other direction as the year goes on.
Yeah, we'll get better. So make sure to check out our Twitter, at Rossi3Stacks with an X, and Josh Parcell with an L. And we'll tweet out the link to the Daily Fantasy DraftKings League for CFB Country this week. Only going to be $2, and this week I promise it will actually run. So we're going to keep getting better. You're welcome for saving you your money last week, Ross. But
hey, thanks, man.
Anywho, all right, buddy. Well, we'll be back next week. Hey, I went 3-2. You went 1-0.
No. 6-0.
6-0. Fine. So let's keep it rolling.
Yes, sir. Let's do this thing. Hey, Josh. I'm proud of you.
Proud of you.
Yep. See you. No.